We have just heard the version from Mark's Gospel, this being year B, the version from Mark's Gospel of the first resurrection account. When we look at the resurrection accounts that are in all four Gospels, they fall into two categories. One of those categories is the resurrection as witnessed through the empty tomb. The other category in our tradition is witnessed through the appearances or the apparitions of Jesus. Both are evidence of his resurrection. And tonight you've just heard the tomb, one of the tomb versions. Now, in the tomb version of Jesus' resurrection, you will get detail about cloths and people and where things are laid in the tomb. In the appearance resurrection accounts, which come a little later, those who witnessed Jesus' resurrection witnessed the glory. Today, in this gospel, we hear the mystery. It is not that we see Jesus, it's that we do not see him. The evidence of his resurrection is not in his resurrected bodily person, it is in what is not there. And the apparition resurrection experiences are in what is there. And so we bring the two together by one common thread, and that one common thread is actually the death of Jesus. That is what unites both traditions, both understandings of what the resurrection is. The only evidence that we have is what is recorded in Scripture. And that wasn't recorded at the very moment the event took place. So it does require, in a sense, the eyes of faith, as does everything really to do with God. We cannot at any time and in any place compact God. We cannot describe God fully. We do not encounter God fully until we align ourselves with these two resurrection traditions, and that will be through that same common thread, our death. Now, what the Christian Church has done for millennia has done as what God himself has done. Easter was not called Easter. What the church did was it took the festival for the spring goddess Estre and then turned it into Easter. So spring in the Northern Hemisphere, of course, it's a little foreign to us who live down under, but spring in the Northern Hemisphere, it was the time of new life and growth. It was the time of the end of darkness and light coming forward, so it makes more sense. So the pagans had that festival for Estre. The Christians absorbed it and turned it into the festival of light. And we have done that because that is what God has done in history. And we continue to do that. In the mystery of this interaction, we receive our hope. We gain hope and we give hope. For anything that is given to us as Christian is not for our sole purpose. It is for the salvation of mankind. For all people. We are the ones that get selective. God made his selection at creation, and it is never up to us to determine who will be or won't be called. Never. So what we do in the meantime is we continue the resurrection tradition, as we've done for centuries. As the early church did with Estre, as it took it over, it entered right into that festival. God entered right into the death of his son. The Christians understood what that festival was about. The Christians took it on board. They, in a sense, domesticated it and they made it their own. And they vanquished it of all of its power. So some goddess was now dissolved into the ether, because that is what God has done with death. God remains faithful to us in our death. And he was utterly faithful to his own son in his death. The promises that were made through Christ to his church will be fulfilled. The mystery of that fulfillment, that is up to God. Our task is to answer the call. Our task is to make ourselves vulnerable, to be understood, to be entered into by God, to be taken on board the mystery of God. Our task is to be domesticated with and in God. Our task is to let God reign in our lives with his power and therefore make us powerless. That is the resurrection. That is the hope of the Christian world. That through Jesus' own resurrection, his death and his passion, we become one with our God in God's time.